PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading.
This is the one we want to dive in.
This is the spot.
Hi. If my friend Mike White here says this is the spot.
This is the spot.
Then this is it. He's a ranger here at the National Marine Sanctuary about 6 or 7 miles off the coast of Key Largo, Florida. Mike, you want to take the wheel?
I got it.
Now, it may seem like we're out in the middle of nowhere here, but this is really a park. An underwater park. I got to drop the anchor. There's a whole different world beneath the sea. And it's especially exciting here, where there's a living coral reef. Coral reefs only grow in warm tropical water, so not everybody gets a chance to see them. So, some underwater photographers have brought the reefs to you. In this book, Dive to the Coral Reefs.
Dive to the Coral Reefs, a New England aquarium book. Written by Elizabeth Tainter, Paul Erickson, and Les Kaufman. Read by Fran Brill. Did you know that there is a city full of fantastic shapes and structures that lies beneath the surface of the sea? It is built and inhabited by millions of incredible creatures. It is the living coral reef. Coral reefs grow in tropical oceans all over the world. To find out about these underwater coral communities, the New England Aquarium sent a team of scientists and divers to explore a coral reef. Reefs are built very, very slowly by corals, tiny animals that actually make up the mounds and branches called a coral reef. Each coral animal, or polyp, is about the size of a pencil eraser. Some people are surprised to find out that corals are animals, because many look more like plants. There is something amazing about corals that helps to explain their plant-like shapes. Scientists have discovered that inside, coral animals are also part plant. Each coral polyp uses minerals from seawater to build a limestone skeleton. Different species of coral form different shapes. These corals build hard skeletons. But sea fans, sea whips, and other soft corals have flexible skeletons. In ocean currents, soft corals bend and sway like tree branches in a breeze. The reef is home to millions of plants and animals. reefs, you might see an octopus, a moray eel, or an enormous sponge so large a diver can stand inside. Because everything fits together like a puzzle, one change in the reef can create problems for everything else. Human and natural disasters can cause destruction. Despite their hard skeletons, stony corals are easily damaged by anchor-dragging boats. Coral reefs can only be preserved through wise ocean care. So maybe someday you too can put on scuba tanks and explore this fantastic underwater world.
It's not every day we get a chance to see a book come to life. But today, we're going to because we're going to scuba dive the coral reefs. And just like an astronaut wears a special suit in outer space, so does a diver. It's called a wetsuit. Now, a wetsuit is designed to make you more like a fish. A wetsuit is your skin. It doesn't have scales, but it does keep you warm and protected. Now, since I don't have gills and there's no air underwater, I have to take my own air in this tank. The air goes through this tube and through a hole in the mouthpiece, which is called a regulator, and you just breathe on it normally, like this. Sounds a little bit like Darth Vader, but the fish don't seem to mind. Now, I don't understand why, but in order to keep your mask clear from fog underwater, you spit, swish, and then dunk. Don't ask me how it works, it just does. And then finally, with all of this equipment on, you can well imagine it's hard to move around under there, so to propel ourselves around, we use these fins. Hey, Mike.
Hey, looks like a great day to go diving.
You bet, I can't wait to get down there. Mike is gonna be my dive partner today. It's always safer and a lot more fun to dive with a buddy.
Looks like we have this reef all to ourselves.
I can't wait. Just about ready?
Just about ready.
Okay. Okay. I'll check you out and then you check me out?
Okay.
All righty. Air on?
Air's on.
Okay, you have your weight belt on?
Weight belt on.
A little air in your vest. Okie doke.
All right, let me check you.
All righty.
Air's on.
Mm-hmm.
Check your air pressure.
Plenty of air.
Weight belt on.
Got my weight belt.
A little air in the vest.
A little air in the vest.
And check your regulator.
Here it is. Okay.
Okay, I'll go first and wait for you in the water.
You bet. This feeling of floating and gliding through the water. It's like being weightless in outer space. Look at the incredible world down here. It's a beautiful underwater garden. There's some soft coral growing on this rock. It feels spongy when you touch it. The fish that live in the reef are really colorful. This Atlantic spadefish that has come really close for a while. See this school of gray snapper? Isn't it pretty?
there's a school of grunt hiding under a coral edge. Hello, grunt. Don't mind us. Just passing through. This cluster of sea feathers feels like a pile of goose feathers. I feel adventuresome. Hey, Mike, I'm gonna take the lead. Natural coral arch. I'm going to swim through it like the fish do every day. Aha! There's a red and white stoplight parrotfish. Parrotfish snack on coral. This blue parrotfish must have just finished supper. If you look closely, you can see it releasing a stream of sand. That's what happens to the coral it digests. Some scientists think parrotfish help make our beaches. This part of the reef is full of elkhorn coral. It's called elkhorn because it grows like the horns of an elk or a moose. Come here for a minute. I've got to show you something. See this white-tipped coral? It's called leafy fire coral, and man, can it sting. Don't ever touch a leafy fire coral. This coral, with all the ridges, is one of my favorites. Can you guess what it's called? Green coral. Fish swim together, it protects them from predators or bigger fish that might eat them.
Incredible.
Wasn't that pretty?
Oh my goodness. That lobster was amazing.
Oh boy.
He was so fast.
And all the color down there.
I am so amazed at how much life there is around these coral reefs. It's just remarkable. You know, coral may look sturdy, but it's really very fragile. People or boats can easily damage or destroy it. So scientists are looking for new ways to save coral. Here's how Harold Hudson, the reef doctor, operates on his patients. underwater.
When most people dive to the coral reefs, they come to enjoy the beauty. My assistant Paige and I are here on business. We're looking for a coral that we can move or transplant to another location where the natural beauty has been damaged or destroyed. Elkhorn coral grows easily and quickly. I think this piece will do nicely. People call me the reef doctor because I help to heal the reef by mending broken corals, treating the corals that are sick, and transplanting new corals to damaged reefs. First, we'll measure the coral so we can track its growth at the new site. Paige records its measurements and takes notes on a waterproof pad with a waterproof pencil. Next, we very carefully remove the coral, chiseling away at the base, not harming the live coral on top. Because living coral tissue can be injured by too much handling or even touching it, it is a good rule to look and not touch, unless, like the reef doctor, you have to in order to do your work. Besides the Elkhorn, we remove two other corals for transplant, Brain and Staghorn. The coral is so fragile it could easily break, so handing it up to Elizabeth on deck is the most dangerous part of the transplant process. Since coral can't live outside its natural environment, we carefully place it in seawater for the time it's above the surface.
Oh boy, those really do look nice.
Oh, these are beauties.
They are. Can we pull one out? Take a look.
Sure.
See how the base looks?
It's like a piece of crystal.
Yep, that's awfully
gorgeous.
Pretty.
Uh-huh. This young piece of staghorn is just getting started, and these are the new growing tips, Paige. Mm-hmm. All the white areas are new growth on the coral. Each of those little tips you see contains a tiny coral animal. There are literally thousands of these little animals all over this surface, and each growing in its own little house to create this beautiful piece of architecture, which we call a coral.
This is a nice piece of brain coral that we got.
Well, that really is, Paige.
That should be real nice. Kind of looks like a brain too, doesn't it?
And not a blemish on it, just absolutely perfect all around. That's the kind we like.
We'll look at the base. Now this isn't alive all under here.
That's exactly right, Paige. What we're looking at is the dead underside of the coral. The only living part of this is this thin layer of tissue on the outside. And as the animal grows, he produces this beautiful head of coral.
And I can feel the slime.
Right, that's the coral's defense mechanism, one of the few that he has. Besides living in a stone house, which helps. Feel how slippery that is?
That is.
That's the coral's natural protection. We better get them back in the water.
Yep.
Oh, now this is a real beauty, Paige.
That sure is.
But now remember, the living surface is just this very thin skin that you see. Everything underneath is stone.
Or like his skeleton.
Right, that he's left behind as he continues to grow.
We have a nice base on this one, too.
Oh, we have a beautiful base for transplanting. This is the area where we're going to place the transplant. A large freighter went off its course here into the shallow water and completely destroyed the coral. That's why it's so flat, barren, and lifeless. This coral will be its first new inhabitant, renewing the cycle of life. We need a good, stable rock to anchor the coral to, So we'll chisel this one down to make a good foundation. I'll check the rock to make sure the coral fits. Then, when I know it's right, I send Paige up for one ball of the special cement Elizabeth is mixing on the boat. Cement is made especially to work underwater, but it hardens very quickly. We've got to get it in place right away. It's made of a fine powder that sheds easily. As you can imagine, this makes it quite difficult to work with. Once the cement is in place, we fit the coral onto the rock and press with all our strength. After we're certain it's attached, we know our job is done. Now it's up to nature to take its course. In time, this coral will help bring life back to a part of the reef that would have been lost for centuries.
This is great. If you love the ocean as much as I do, then you'll want to read more about it. So here are some books that you can dive right into, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Have you ever wondered what lives in the sea? Well, if you have, this book's for you. It's called Creatures of the Sea. This book is about all the fish and animals that live in the sea. For example, the lima clam, the clownfish, and even a turkeyfish. The pufferfish is the funniest. It gulps water and puffs up to the size of a basketball. The crocodilefish looks just like a crocodile, but it's hard to see because it lies at the bottom of the ocean. I'm Amanda Burnsone, and this is a great book. It made me want to dive down to the bottom of the ocean and see all these creatures up close.
Wouldn't it be neat if you could camouflage yourself or hide anywhere? Well, in this book called How to Hide an Octopus, it's just what the creatures do. There are many different creatures in this book that camouflage themselves. This means they can hide from other fish. For example, the octopus hides by changing its color. Can you see the octopus? The sea dragon is most bizarre. It's bright red and hides in the red weeds. I'm Tristan Smith, and this is a fantastic book. You'll not only discover new things, but you'll have fun finding the creatures too.
Hello, I'm Nefertiti Brown, and I'd like to tell you about a fantastic book called I Can Be an Oceanographer by Paul P. Sapira. Oceanographers are scientists who study all aspects of the sea. They study fish and minerals and the rise and fall of the tides. One kind of oceanographer is called a marine geologist. It might be neat to study volcanoes under the sea. In my opinion, the best thing that oceanographers do is scuba dive. They get to see all kinds of different animals, probably things you've never seen before. If you're fascinated with the water, I recommend this book to you. It will open up a whole new world, the ocean.
There is an amazing universe beneath the ocean. And you just can't imagine how magnificent it is until you see it. But scuba diving isn't the only way to get there. Snorkeling is a terrific window into the sea, and it's easy. You just float on the surface and breathe through a snorkel tube, like this one. You know, when I first thought about exploring the underwater world, I had a feeling it was going to be one of the most thrilling experiences of my life. And you know what? It really has been.
This place is spectacular. It's beautiful, isn't it? The greatest thing about being underwater is that there's always something new to see. You never know what you'll discover when you take your next plunge.
I can't resist. I'm going back in. I'll see you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are Dive to the Coral Reefs by Elizabeth Tainter, Paul Erickson, and Les Kaufman, published by Crown Publishers, Incorporated. Creatures of the Sea, text and photographs by John Christopher Fine, published by Athenaeum. How to Hide an Octopus and Other Sea Creatures by Ruth Heller, published by Grosset and Dunlap. I Can Be an Oceanographer by Paul P. Cipriera, published by Children's Press.